Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We're taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, more renderings, more conversation continuing to come out about the Titans and the new Nissan Stadium that is scheduled to be completed sometime in 2027. I'm looking at renderings right now of what we think the East Bank neighborhood will look like. It's going to be totally revitalized down there next to the stadium. Obviously, the hope eventually, and I don't know, it's not going to be a hope, it's going to happen. At some point, we're going to get the Super Bowl here in Nashville. Hopefully, a Final Four. Hopefully, a college football playoff game / national title game. I mean, all these things are part of the conversation around making this new stadium happen anyway. But the Titans, very excited about the new stadium. And hopefully, on the field, if Levis is still there, that means that he's played at a really high level to be the quarterback by the time the new stadium opens here. But the Titans, I got to say, they've been pretty aggressive with their push for the new stadium here in terms of kind of highlighting what it's going to look like. They seem to be very, very excited, very thrilled about the new Nissan Stadium and what they've got cooking.
Well, it's, down the pike. It's selling time.
They're
selling hardcore. So today, media is there's a media thing at Titans House. I think Kaharski's going to that. Titans House today at 9, actually. And so the Titans House is like where people go. It's basically, from my understanding, sort of like the not AI. Would it be AI? What's the thing where you put the little thing, you know, the
virtual reality?
Yeah. You know, like almost like VR. A virtual reality experience, kind of. Yeah. Like you go in there. So even to like you have an appointment at the Titans House to purchase like a PSL, you know, 30 years PSL. So then you can kind of experience what the stadium is like in various parts of it and stuff like that. So it will be interesting to see what Kaharski, you know, comes away with. What about the press box? What about my bratwurst?
You know, I'm picturing Kaharski with one of those virtual reality goggles on right now, and now I've never wanted to see anything more in my entire life.
I do wonder, like, do they have a thing?
This looks real. Wow.
Like, do they have an experience in here? For like, they're bringing media. It's like, here is where your press box will be. Slightly different than old Nissan Stadium, where you're 50-yard line very close to the field.
Yes.
You are now in this tiny little...
You're in Hermitage.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to virtually bring you the experience of watching the game from miles away. But I think, going through all the mock-ups and everything, I think the stadium looks really cool. What do you think about the exterior? I've seen some people complain that it doesn't look like a stadium.
I mean, it doesn't.
Someone said...
I kind of like it, though.
Do you?
Like, yeah. It doesn't... I mean, It for sure, it doesn't look like a stadium, but I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, like someone I know, and I forget who, as I'm learning day by day, I'm losing my mind slowly, but was like, so great, so you put a Publix there in the middle of, you know. Let's all go to the big Publix. I mean, it does have a thing on the top that makes it look like a stadium.
It does.
Yeah, actually, I kind of think like it looks cool in the pictures, but I guess, you know, we'll find out when it's actually built what it looks like. But yeah, the interior, I think the capacity makes sense, down to 60. That's where things are going. It's less capacity, less bad seats, more amenities, more different things for people to do. I mean, there are going to be people in there that are, again, it's like the Golden State Warriors new place. It's like half the people there are like just at the club or something, and there's like a basketball game that is also not far away, but you're there for, you know, to socialize. So it looks like this is part of this. I mean, it'll be very different. I love the Nissan Stadium in terms of grass, outdoors, location, but it's very simple and very lacking in amenities. This will be very different from that.
Well, it'll be very different than that. I think I'm excited for the stadium itself. It's going to be awesome. I think what I'm equally, if not a little bit more excited about, is like what they're going to do around it. Like that East Bank part of the development down there, I think it's going to be really cool. I mean, the restaurants and everything, there's going to be some apartments there. I'm I'm looking forward to seeing like what that all kind of ends up looking like. I mean, the stadium, it's as somebody who grew up here and remembers when the old one was under construction, it is kind of wild that, you know, 30 years later, less than 30 years later, we're going through this again and already building another one. But it's just what it is in today's NFL, right? Like, it's the modernization, the amenities, like getting people to come to games. It's just a different time than it was back then. We've talked about this before. I mean, for me to actually get up and go to a football stadium, it takes a lot. Like, there's a lot of options, whether it's red zone or whatever, like on your TV, where you don't have to stand in lines to go to bathrooms, don't have to pay $25 for concessions, all that stuff. Like, it's a different time to try to get people to the game. So I like the capacity going down a little bit, and I'm interested to see like just how cool the amenities are and what that means for the crowd once it comes around.
And I believe I've seen something to this effect, and you see it in these new stadiums, like you've got to have places where people can watch all the games too.
Yes.
And people are into their fantasy teams, they're into their gambling, and so you need to provide that. It probably takes some away from, obviously, if the entire focal point is just what's on the field,
yeah,
then I guess you're taking away from some of that with it. But that's what you have to do to get people out. You gotta offer more to get people to come out. So that's just because, yeah, it is. It's hard to convince people. How much do you think this season's results matter when it comes to them selling? This is a lot of money they're asking for, and I mean, it's a big investment. Yep. So, like, if I was considering this, I don't know that I would, like, put everything on. Well, you show me a 10-7 season with a good Will Levis, and I might buy a PSL, but I don't know.
I would answer it this way. I don't think the season results matter as much as the quarterback does. Like, if so much of this franchise comes down to him, right? Like, if you walk away at the end of this year, and if you're a Titans fan, you're convinced that you've got a superstar quarterback in the making, I think that makes the idea of selling tickets for the new stadium a whole lot easier. Like, to me, that part of it, beyond like them going 10-7 or 11-6 and making the playoffs, that would be great. But if you walk away at the end of the year convinced that, well, Will Levis is going to be here for a long time, and they're going to be pretty good by the time this new thing opens up, I better get my spot in line, that to me is kind of the answer.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Now, if it's really bad with Will Levis, then especially if you're a Vols and Titans fan, you can start thinking about, man,
Nico,
second year in the league, 27, he'll be ready to rock. I mean, look, there's a lot of possible quarterback iterations and choices between now and 27.
There was
right?
a mock draft the other day that had the Titans selecting Arch Manning in 2026. So you could have the Manning show in here too.
That'd be another slap in the face of Vols fans.
It would be.
Go get Nico.
It would be. 615-737-1025. Aaron on the text line says, I'm so upset that they did not make the stadium look like the Roman Coliseum. Maybe. Could have been an opportunity there.
I'm still genuinely, in all seriousness, I will never I think it's so short-sighted that they didn't have a retractable roof.
I agree.
So short-sighted. And the citing Indy, first of all, Indy does have it open a fair amount, and also that's 4.5 hours north of here, due north of here. I hate that. That had to be folded into the cost, and it's a missed opportunity, but it's what it is.
It is what it is. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans coming up next. Which Titans are having a make-it-or-break-it year this season for the Titans in Brian Callahan's first year? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Join Cromwell Media along with local athletes and musicians at Hermitage Golf Course on June the 20th for the 615 Open. You can make a difference while supporting Souls for Souls. Every $20 raised goes towards a new pair of shoes for a local child experiencing homelessness. Sign up to play or to sponsor at 615open.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. We're taking your thoughts on the Titans. So, Joe, as you look at this team, as you look at this roster, it's a new era of Titans football. Brian Callahan coming in, Rand Carthon in year two as GM. Based on the roster right now, who would you define how would you kind of break down how this shakes out with the roster in terms of who is a make it or break it candidate this year for the Titans? Meaning, they better play well this year or they may not be here moving forward.
Will Levis?
Well, right. Maybe.
At least make it to some extent. But, you know, again, I think that it would have to be real bad for him to not be the quarterback in 2025.
I agree.
What you don't want, not great, okay, but give him another year. You don't want that, but, like, it'd have to be pretty bad for them. This idea that he would have to be amazing this season, or I don't agree with that. I think you want to see some progress. You could see some progress. You could have some hope. You could still be largely questioning if he's the guy, and he'd still be, I think, the quarterback in 2025. Treylon Burks is an obvious answer. You know, it's kind of again how you want to define this, but I mean, I think a guy like Chigakonkwo,
that's where I was going.
It's a big year for him in this league and this team. I mean, look, that whether it's sort of a, you know, de facto endorsement or an actual endorsement, they haven't done much at tight end. So I have to think they have some confidence that Chig and Josh Wiley can get the job done. But obviously he didn't have a disappointing sophomore season in the NFL. His rookie season maybe was a little bit deceiving. He had a handful of big plays that really helped his number. I know it's like, oh, great. So if the running back has a 99-yard TD run that doesn't count in the final 250 yards, well, sure it does. But how much of a playmaker can he be consistently in this league? And, you know, how does this offense use him? He's definitely a guy who comes to mind. There are definitely some offensive linemen who come to mind. Oh, Petit, yeah. Frere. I think Petit Frere in particular. I mean, like, Raiden's probably, you know, he's
career backup.
Yeah. Now, you know, that doesn't mean he'll definitely be around.
No.
But you know, if you're a Raiden's, and what you want to focus on is, like, can you push and be the starting right guard? But I think it would definitely be that kind of year for him. You know, defensively, I don't have a lot of folks who come to mind at this point.
I would say Elijah Molden fits that mold.
Yeah, okay. Fits the mold.
But to your point, like, in terms of starting heavily contributing players, there's not a ton on the defensive side of the ball that really come to mind. Like, Molden, especially the way that things are configured right now, they have not to this point gone and gotten safety help. Now, that could change, and maybe that changes the answer on Molden a little bit there. But I think right now, based on the way the roster is laid out there, Molden is a candidate on the defensive side of the ball. You know, Chig is interesting to me because I have questions about, like, how much are they going to use the tight end in this offense. Like, I would assume that the addition of Boyd is probably going to take some targets away from Wiley and Okonkwo, right? I mean, that's what Boyd does, is he operates in the middle of the field there. Like, Chig is so intriguing to me because you mentioned it, his rookie year, he only had 32 catches for 450 yards and 3 touchdowns, which is not a ton of production, but he was 14.1 a catch. He was at 14.1 yards per reception, which for a tight end is really, really good. Really good.
It's a big number.
Last year, 54 catches, 528 yards, had some issues catching the ball, especially at the beginning of the year. I did think he got better as the year went on, but 9.8 per catch, only 1 touchdown. And I don't know, like, I need to go find, like, the actual numbers in terms of, you know, tackles broken and things like that, but it just didn't feel like he was as dangerous with the ball in his hands after the catch last season as he was the year before that. So, like, tight end is not necessarily a spot for the Titans right now that I feel great about. It's a big year for him. It's a big year for Wiley to see if he can stay healthy here. I don't know exactly what that's going to look like in terms of the production that those two bring on the field. Chig continues to just be really intriguing to me because in the limited sample size we saw from him in his rookie year, I mean, there were plays that he made where he looked like a monster out there. We just didn't see that last year. Can he get back to that this coming year in an offense where I don't think he's going to have a ton of opportunities?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good question. Maybe it turns out that he and Levis, their chemistry is a big part of that.
Yep.
And maybe he will surprise and he'll really take advantage of how good this receiving core is. But obviously last year, so much of the focus going into the season was Chig, can he be an inline tight end? Can he be stout enough when he needs to be a tight end, a blocking tight end, to be in any situation, for them to not be predictable? I mean, I think there was such an emphasis on him getting bigger, stronger, and doing that. Maybe that did hurt him a little bit as a playmaker. Probably what hurt him most is just being in a bad offense with a bad offensive line and a lot of three and outs and just a lot of opportunity that you didn't have there that you would have had elsewhere. But, yeah, he just dropped too many passes last year.
Yeah.
You can't drop those sporadic opportunities in an offense like this. So I think he's got a lot to prove for sure. And, again, it's just – he's one of those players who you kind of have to some extent, etch-a-sketch it, which is my new favorite verb, and just say, hey, it's a new offense, and we'll see what these guys imagine for him. I do think he's got talent to make plays in the NFL.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Which Titans will this be a make-it-or-break-it season for? We'll take your thoughts on that on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. More coming up next, the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad at 745, Corey Curtis from News 2 at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, the game. I've got some tickets to give away, a four-pack of tickets to see the Nashville Sounds take on Charlotte this Thursday at First Horizon Park. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a four-pack of tickets to see the Sounds take on Charlotte this Thursday at First Horizon Park. We're taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Who are some make-it-or-break-it candidates for the Titans this year in Brian Callahan's first year? A lot of talk about Chig. It's interesting, like, if you go back to Callahan's days in Cincinnati, there wasn't a ton of production from the tight end position. Now, they never really had great tight ends while he was there, and they did have great receivers, right? I mean, T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, Tyler Boyd, you're trying to get the ball to those three. So it's a different situation in terms of just the overall talent level. Like, the Titans don't have a Ja'Marr Chase out there. But, I mean, they do have Ridley, Hopkins, Boyd. It's a pretty good trio at wide receiver right now. So what is that going to mean in terms of production at the tight end spot? Like, C.J. Uzama got the deal from the Jets, and by the way, has done nothing since he's been a member of the Jets, which is a very common theme of the Jets franchise.
Yeah.
He had 21 catches in 2022. And he had 8 catches last year in 12 games. So it's been nothing from him. When he was in Cincinnati, you know, he had in 2019, 40 targets, 27 catches. In 2020,
he was
hurt all year. And then in 2021, when they made it to the Super Bowl, 63 targets, 49 catches for 493 yards. So
that, like, got him paid.
Good, yeah. But nothing great from the tight end position really in Cincinnati under Brian Callahan.
Yeah, now that year, you'd take production, you know, 49, 493,
yeah,
five touchdowns. And I thought that was obviously the year that they came in here and beat the Titans in the playoffs. And I thought he was good. He was a good player.
Yeah.
I think it's when you have a receiving core like that, it's got to kind of be like, I could go to the tight end, but that much faster guy is open farther down the field.
Correct.
I think I'll go for more yards, right? That's an extreme, like, that receiving core with Tyler Boyd and this receiving core with Tyler Boyd, you still wouldn't quite compare them, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's no Chase. There's really no Chase comparison. Hopkins is great, and we'll see with Ridley. I mean, I think Ridley could be really good, but I guess it's sort of the same concept, the idea that it's like, well, if those guys are going to be what you hope they're going to be, okay, well, then, I mean, look, there's just so much you can do with the football. But if he played like C.J. Uzama played that year and basically end up with similar numbers, I think that'd be a pretty good year for Chig.
Joey from Bellevue on the text line says, what about Caleb Farley? It's hard to, like, it's – I don't know that he even really qualifies for this discussion. Right? I mean, to Joey's – like, I hear what he's saying. Like, it is – if Caleb Farley doesn't make it this year, then he's probably done. But, I mean, what role is he going to be playing?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Caleb, yeah, look, I mean, they've moved on in terms of, look at their roster. Look at how much investment they've put into corners. They went and had a huge trade and a big signing of two starting corners to go with Roger McCreary. Caleb Farley is just, to me, just way too banged up to really, to me, it's make or break for him. Can he be in the NFL? Can he hang around the NFL in some capacity, somewhere, doing something? Probably special teams. It'd be one of the most inspirational stories ever if at some point he actually gets healthy, especially with the tragedies he's gone through. If he gets healthy and has a career resurgence at some point and can actually play some corner, I think another thing about Caleb Farley, and I don't know how much of it has to do with injury, but when he played, he wasn't good. He was good in camp two years ago, which, again, that's a classic example of careful, beware, buyer beware on training camp stuff. It's like Treylon Burks last year, right? But I just think that I just wouldn't put him in that category because I think he's an afterthought on this roster, and his focus has to be how can I stay in the National Football League?
Got a lot of votes for Petit Frere on the text line. What do you need to see from him this year? Beyond, obviously, they need him to play well this year. They need him to be able to step into the right tackle role and to adequately fill that. What do you need to see from him this year in order to extend that out and for him to be the right tackle moving forward? Because, look, it would be great for the Titans to go through a draft cycle next year and for us to not be talking about tackle as a spot that they need, right? Like, it would be awesome to get through a draft cycle and not be like, you know what the Titans might be able to use? Another starting tackle. That would be great. I'm not convinced that that's going to happen. Like, I still think there's a decent chance the next year's draft could roll around and they might need a right tackle. So we'll see what happens on that front. But it would be great for them to have enough confidence in Petit Frere where they say, you know what, we feel okay about right tackle and we can address other needs at that point.
Yeah, there's like, can he fill the hole this year and be okay and you're all right? That would be big. To me, if that's the case, then that's good. But that still probably leaves you with, okay, so who's the long-term tackle?
Right.
I mean, if that's not a question next year going into the offseason, then that's a heck of a turnaround season for Petit Frere.
Not for rare.
But even if, to me, it's like, can he just give you the middle ground of, okay, it's fine. It's not a disaster. He's okay. He's a rotational guy. Now go find the next – but I guess if he's that, you could still make the case, okay, do you really have to use a high pick on a right tackle?
Right.
Because who knows, what else do we see this year? Well, it's like, oh, my gosh, they're so depleted at edge or whatever it is. They never address safety, and it's a bad situation, whatever it may be. Yeah, it'd be a huge deal for them to not have right tackle high on the list going into the next offseason. I'm doubtful. I think definitely he can be – passable. I think that's possible. Passable is possible. But like making himself the clear long-term answer, that'd be quite a turnaround.
Well, that'd be quite the turnaround. And I don't have high confidence that he's going to do that. Like where you walk away from this year where you're like, yep, okay, Nicholas Petit Frere is the right tackle of the future along with J.C. Latham, and that's their tackle combo for the next 5 years. That's a heck of a bar for this year. But it would be awesome if at about halfway through the year you looked around and you said, you know what? He's been pretty decent. Like, if I would sign up for that right now if I'm a Titans fan. Beyond, like, this idea of, well, what if he's really, really good? Can he be decent? Let's start at decent, and then we can go from there.
The texter, answer your question, what does he need to do to actually block someone?
That would be a good step.
Yes, that would be a good start.
That would be something that didn't happen a whole lot last year.
What if he is fine, but in the meantime, Jalen Duncan is turning into like a good swing tackle, and it's like, okay, there's some depth. You're not sitting there blown away by anything, but Latham's really good.
Yeah.
The left side looks great. Okay, the offensive line as a whole got way better, and so you can worry about other things.
And if you, whatever the scenario is, where you don't have to put a heavy premium on offensive line next offseason, to me, is a good scenario for the Titans. Like, it, what you don't want to have happen is for you to look around and say, you know what? We need another right tackle. We need another right guard. And we need better depth pieces because the ones we have right now aren't any good. Like, you don't need Rand Carthon to be looking at his offseason checklist next year and thinking, all right, I need to find four offensive linemen in some capacity. Maybe not four starters, but four offensive linemen to add to the room. It'd be great if not only Petit Frere at the right side, but some of the, like a Duncan, like some of these depth guys developed under Bill Callahan. That would be a very welcome development as well.
Yeah. He's the Wizard of Oz.
That's what I hear.
Make it happen. Snap your fingers. Yeah, you know, they've also got, I mean, they've had Sadiq Charles, they added him. So, and some of these, a couple guys he knows. So, yeah, you'd hope that that means decent depth.
Yeah. I mean, looking at the rest of the roster, I mean, you mentioned it on the defensive side of the ball. There's not a ton of guys. Hey, look, it's not a, these next two names I'm going to throw out, it's not a make it or break it year for either one of them, obviously. But, like, Skoronski, I feel like, given what's now around him and the coaching staff that is around him, you would like to see a pretty big jump this season from what he was a year ago, right? I mean, I'm not saying he was bad last year. He was in a horrible situation with Dillard to the left of him, Brewer to the right of him. You feel like with Cushenberry to the right and Latham to the left, that should be a pretty big upgrade for him. Like, you'd like to see Skoronski take a big step forward this year. And again, this is obviously not a make it or break it year for this player, but I keep saying it. Like, Jeffrey Simmons to me needs to be a lot better than he was a year ago. And you want to see it from those two guys to be really, really good.
Pro Football Focus numbers say Brewer was pretty good last year. Just saying, we value those.
I don't dislike Aaron Brewer as much as some other people on this station do.
Yeah, Aaron Brewer was fine. Obviously, the big hope this year is that Cushenberry is a pretty significant upgrade. Another guy I put on there, which I know it's kind of wild to think about this in terms of a free agent signing, but I think Kenneth Murray, this is a huge year for him in terms of, okay, scheme, fit, this is the fresh start here. Everyone knows he has tons of talent, but can he be an effective, consistent player? Because I think if it doesn't work out, then it's looking right away at doing something else there. Someone asked on the text line about who'd they just add? Oh, Rashad Weaver.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an important year for him for sure. Look, it's a big opportunity for him. And I think he's been solid. He's obviously made some big mistakes at some big moments, right, that I think stick in people's minds. I think he's a solid player. I don't know what the ceiling is there. You know, I don't know how much better he can get. But this is an opportunity. If he can establish himself as a starting quality player, it's there for him to do that.
Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. We will do that next. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rexroad.
I'm going to give you crap for the rest of your life.
Which apparently may not be that much longer based on yesterday morning. So.
Game on the line. Who would take the last shot?
Me.
That's a dumb question.
Me.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Joe Rexroad's rant of the day. Joseph, the floor is yours.
The keys are keeping things thematic, even on this big wedding week.
That's good. Little Michael Jordan clip in there. It was good.
By the way, I was getting coffee and Dagwood was in there, and he's like, I told him about your wedding. He's like, huh? Too bad. He could have had a sweet gift for me if he just would have told me about his wedding.
Yeah.
If you could have told Dagwood, you had a gift, but too late now, man.
That's okay.
Dag, wow.
There's still time.
That's all right. That's okay. Dagwood's gift would have sucked. That's what you said, right? All right, I'm going to talk a little bit about my weekend. So I was alone this weekend. I had a wife in South Carolina with some friends. Daughter went to the lake with a friend. You know, my son was working basically all day. So basically I was like alone with the dogs, you know. So I go up to the rec center, see that it's adult full court hoops.
Oh boy! You know?
So I show up, and it's pretty good. Like we're talking about, we got some. I think some kids who probably played high school around here. Some, I mean, we had like some 6'8" athletic dudes out there.
Oh, wow!
So like some legit, I'd say, good high school, possible college level players. Which, you know, in a game like that,
right up your alley.
Well, in a game like that, I'm the old man game dude who, I mean, I had plenty of assists and rebounds. Mostly I'm finding people, getting them shots. Give me the ball in the post. I'll play a little point forward. But, you know, you like know your role. Old man game, you know, I'm not going to be taking a ton of shots or whatever. And luckily for me, on the other team, there was another fat 50-year-old. And we basically just guard each other. So, worked out fine. So, you know, we had some moments, got a little bucket on him in the post, had some assists going on, you know, working the ball around. It's a good game. And he's got a little crafty game. And he has a nice little cross on me. And I lunge. And so he gets past me. We're late in the game now.
Yeah.
So it's like, you can't give up a layup. Okay. So I kind of arm barred. You know what I mean? Like he crossed me, real nice little crafty dribble, and I kind of arm barred and kind of tripped him up. Not like low, like tripped him in the feet, but like kind of like got him right here, and it kind of stumbled, and he was mad. He was mad. He was real mad.
Okay.
And look, I will admit, yeah, it's a pickup game. Like if someone gets past, just let him go. But I didn't want to just give up a layup, right? So he was mad. He was real mad. He was so mad that he was like, you know, you keep doing that stuff, someone's going to kick your ass.
Okay.
Now, if I was a younger person, what would have come out of my mouth was, who's going to do that?
Yeah,
who?
Exactly.
I kept my mouth shut, but he was mad. So, of course, they checked the ball up. He gets the ball immediately, slamming into me, hold my ground, slam into me, hold my ground, take me left, pump. Stay down, pump, stay down, shoot, throw your crap to the gym wall. And he calls a foul and says, God. I hit him in the head.
Oh, boy.
I'm like, I did not foul you. What are you talking about? So it's, you know, this is where we got. I mean, some of these young kids are looking at us like, whoa, what's happening? But the best part is he's like, it's not my fault he's not athletic. This is what he said to somebody else. I'm like, dude, you're a fat 50-year-old like me, buddy. I just threw your crap out of the court. So whatever, it all cooled down. It was fine. The best part is what you do in those situations, you don't lose. So we won. I got to do the, hey, man, good game, you know.
Yeah, thanks for playing.
And we were good. But it's I really am just telling you a story from my rant today. Just know I've been there. Like, I've been fouled hard and been mad about it, and it gets heated and stuff like that. But, yeah, know your role.
Yeah.
Know who you are.
Come on in.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, if you get your stuff blocked, then I don't know what to tell you.
There's nothing worse than the guy who calls fouls in pickup games when they get embarrassed. Because that's what that is, right? Like, you're throwing a fit, and then you get blocked. And you're calling a foul because you're embarrassed. Like, that's what that is. That drives me nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, I think my main takeaway from your story is you get left alone for one weekend and you almost get into a physical confrontation out there.
So. Well, yeah. I picked up my kid from work and I told him about it. He's like, you can't get in fights. You're going to die. Like, I didn't. That's why I kept my mouth shut.
You can't get in fights.
I mean, and then later when I left you, I'm like, hey, no hard feelings. Like, it's cool. Like, it was a bad foul. Look, it was a bad foul. I mean, yeah, it's one of those, like, you probably don't commit that foul unless it's, like, game point. Then I think you have to understand. But it was like game to 15, and it was at that point it was, like, 12-11 or something. It was close. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, and hey, it was a great crossover. You know, a little arm bar across the legs. Yeah. That's a lunge, like, you just smoked me foul. I get it. But then when you get your crap thrown out after that, you just have to take it, man. You just have to take it.
Look, basketball, there's not much that brings out like the heated in somebody like a pickup basketball game. Like, it's, you can get,
well, basketball's a lot more of a contact where people realize,
right? If you don't play, people realize, like, you know, I've been a part of some bench clearing brawls in basketball, which like from people that you would like in other situations would never even think about doing things like that. I've been a part of those. And it's, for whatever reason, basketball has always been the one thing. Like, I can play baseball. Things don't really make me mad. You know, football is what it is. Like, it's violent. It's contact out there. But it never, like, I never got mad playing football really at anybody. It just kind of is what it is.
Yeah.
Basketball, I used to get mad, like real mad. Yeah. It was a problem at one point.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I mean, I used to talk a lot of trash because, like, I used to be good. So then I'd really talk trash, and there were definitely some hands thrown here and there, for sure. Remember an intramural game, man, that basically is, like you said, bench-clearing brawl kind of thing. A lot of people had to come in and break that up. So it is weird. But that's basketball, there's a lot of slamming into people.
There is. There is. I hope that guy's okay today. Hope he's gotten over it.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, he lost, but, you know, it's cool.
Is this going to be like a weekend tradition for you now, going to the rec center?
I don't know, man, because – I mean, here we go. Cameron says, Joe, buddy, you're in the wrong in this one. You can't armbar a guy, say he's a bad guy. Again, I'm not saying he's a bad guy. Like I said, like, that was a bad foul. I agree. He's not a bad guy. But I'm just saying, next play, his whole thing is, I'm going to blast in this dude and score on him, and I just threw your crap. I'm sorry. So I was a bad foul. And then it was a good D to respond to you. And so you can't. That's a weak foul. I mean, everybody at the game at that point, when he called, it was just like, oh, my God. But it was probably just eye rolling, like, oh, good, the fat 50-year-olds are fighting.
Yes.
We're trying to play a good basketball game, but you guys are going to. But, like, sorry, man. Like, you lost.
I would like
He's
to
not
see
a bad guy. He's not a bad guy. I'm sure he's a good guy.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans, get his thoughts on the Matt Duchesne discussion of the day as well. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.